You are now listening to the Soul Trader Podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
As I sip my water from my Soul Trader Podcast mug.
Water never tasted so good.
It makes the water taste better. We're here for episode 8. We thought we would talk. We thought we'd talk about creative spaces, I guess, or the space within which we create or set up to create.
Yes.
Because you're moving house. I mean, we've been talking about this in the podcast for a while.
But it is fast approaching.
Yes. Yeah, so
by the time you're hearing the podcast, that is the exact day that the house gets settled, sale of my house.
So Corey sold his house and is moving out.
Yes.
Moving
down initially to Goolwa first, and then finding a place down the Fleurieu from there. And I thought, a creative space or a space to be creative, what does that entail? And does it make a difference? I know we had spoken about sort of emotions and emotionality and how that can affect creativity. I thought, seeing that I'm about to go into a different space, would that affect my creativity, and would that affect, does a space affect creativity? And creativity, of course, it could be musician or artist or anyone that needs a particular sort of space, their own domain to operate in.
I mean, the interesting thing is that obviously your normal creative space, which you've had set up for a long time, has been disrupted for quite some time because you had your studio kind of set up and you packed that away because of open inspections and selling the house.
So it's been a 3 month.
It's like, just need to interrupt you for a second. 3 months later, that's obviously something that I think it's interesting because it's not to say that you need to have the studio to be creative, but it is interesting when you have created a space like that. Like I moved house, so my space that we used to shoot the podcast in, guitars on the wall, that was my kind of little creative cocoon,
And now we're in a void.
Yes. And now yes, exactly.
We're in the void.
So we had, guitars on the wall and, there's my couch there and it's got a nice rug on the floor and I have a desk and, so it was all, that was the room where it felt like this is a room for kind of creating stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's not that you need that space to create, but when you have created that space, to suddenly not have that space is an interesting, challenge, I guess. And another kind of reference to that is I was watching George Holliday, who was a guest on our podcast last year, who lives in a bus, it's a studio, and he was talking about the fact that he's wanted to try to do some creativity away from the bus, so he's actually renting the bus out, and I think he's trying to get to a point where he can literally go backpack. Like have a studio in a backpack effectively.
Right.
Because he's got one of the new MacBooks, which is extremely powerful. And, he just says, I don't even need to use speakers anymore because the speakers in the laptop are good enough. And so he's looking to kind of go mobile, and that's shaking up his world a little bit. But he's doing it intentionally. I think when it's not a choice necessarily, yours wasn't a choice, mine wasn't a choice. You had to do it because you had to sell your house, and I had to do it because I moved house. But it is interesting. It's like you kind of want to create a little oasis.
Yeah. Creativity is a very subjective and very individual thing.
Mm.
And sort of my space.
Not the old website that came before Facebook.
The one that that's a good joke. Yeah, no.
Where everybody had to be friends with the guy that was
Tom
who started it. Yeah.
And that was the one that Murdoch bought for $580 million and then sold it to Justin Timberlake for $32 million.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, what a fucking idiot. Anyway, so...
yes, your space.
MySpace, yeah. Yeah, MySpace.com. Yeah. Is, for me, my creative space is a place where I can sit down in front of the screen and just have everything in arm's reach. So some people have a space where it's like lots of colours and this and that and the other, and they have all this periphery, and that's great for them. For me, it's more of a functional thing. I just want to have a place where I know where everything is, I can flick a switch, and the amount of time it takes for an idea to gestate from my head and my heart onto either paper or the screen is like that. And
right.
And of course, yeah, you know, it'd be, you know, have sort of Tibetan prayer flags and this and that and the other. But it's
so you do have some colour.
Oh yeah, there is some colour there, but it's not like I'm splashing, you know, pink and I've got, you know, mannequins, you know, doing all sorts of things and mirrors and
you
whatever.
You don't have other quirky creativity.
No, kind of. A lot of it's, have weird it's stuff. Around it. Yeah, yeah, and look, that's great because that's their personality. It's an extension of themselves. And for me, you know, I go down the path of, you know, I'd like to have a wardrobe with exactly the same shirts and exactly the same jeans, like a Steve Jobs thing. So I don't have to think about what I'm going to wear because yeah. I'd rather think about other things than that, you know. And, you know, I'm very routine oriented, as I've probably mentioned before. So, you know, it's, I'm a creature of habit, so I want to make sure that if I'm going to use the studio, then I just know where everything is and I can just flick the switch and off I go and have the least resistant path from idea to completion.
Mm.
And that's what the creative space means for me, you know, because it's all about output. It's all about you know, productivity. It's all about just creating some sort of factory that produces quality stuff. But what I have noticed is in the last 3 months, I've been sort of working off my laptop with headphones, and the main sort of audio thing that I have been doing through that has been, you know, getting the podcast ready to be uploaded.
Yeah.
And a few other things, you know, I've been using sort of the Rode microphones that we're using to just record guitar and getting ideas down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's really given me an appreciation of how the limitations that you set yourself can increase your creativity. It's a pain in the ass trying to make everything work, but once it gets there, then it's okay, you know, and it's proven to me that, yeah, I don't have to have this whole setup. You know, I can just work off a laptop and a pair of really good headphones and have a good microphone, albeit a USB mic, and the Rode ones that we're using, hint, hint, Rode, we need some sponsorship, is really, really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's given me a new appreciation for that. And there's been some really cool things that have come out of it because, you know, the limitations that it creates – enables me to think outside of the box a little bit more rather than have the literal environment of all the bells and whistles that you know where everything is.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's if you don't have – I mean, in my old room where I had the guitars hanging up, I mean, one of the nice things about having them hanging up is you can literally just grab them and just have a little strum. You'd have to you don't have to think, oh, I'll get the guitar out of the case. So, like, literally behind you is a wardrobe where all my guitars are literally in their cases.
It does have – it was a really cool backdrop.
Yeah.
But I must admit that the Void is a cool backdrop as well. I'm looking at the camera at the moment. It's just like, oh, man, that looks really cool.
The Void is nice. I mean, but it was one of those things where just having them accessible if I wanted to have a little
– ooh.
That swip of essence.
Sparkling, sparkling water. Yes, we are live. Aren't you jealous? Oh, that's lovely. SodaStream. And see, we should be sponsored by them as well.
But yeah, I mean, it was just about, you know, that accessibility to have them there. But you were talking about microphones, and I imagine that, you know, some people kind of like to collect a whole bunch of vintage microphones. And I guess, you know, you might have ones that you then go, okay, if I'm going to record guitar, I use that one. If I'm going to record guitar, I use that one. But you're still, drums, I'm going to record that one, vocals, whatever.
Yeah.
But you still are then, there's that process of choice rather than just going, well, I'll use what I've got. So I can understand, how, and the other thing is that, like with a single microphone, it's like you can change the distance where you set it up in terms of, say, a guitar, for example.
Yeah.
You know, more on the neck, more on the body, sound hole, further away, closer, you know, get a bit of the room noise, you know, try to have it, you know, a bit more natural, whatever it might be. But I think, as you say, those limitations can be, you know, that can be beneficial. For me, it's about, I think for the creative process, for me, it's less distractions. You know, if you've got a lot of other stuff in your room that you're kind of dealing with, like if you have a space that is clear of stuff, like you were saying, you want to have everything at your within easy reach, but it's that you don't have other stuff there that's non, say, music related in this case. You don't, because then that creates distraction. There's a lot of other noise, you know, visual noise, where there's just things everywhere that get in your way. And it's just like, just whereas if your singular focus is just everything that's in this room is about creating music or writing music.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in some ways the guitar will kind of help that as well, because it just made it, you know, you always felt like you're in a music room.
Yeah. Aesthetically, you walk in, it's like, this is not a dental surgery, you know.
Yeah.
It's like it's not an accountant's room. It's like it's not just an office. It's got guitars on the wall.
Yeah. You know? I mean, The Void is a good place for shooting kind of podcasts or, you know, YouTube videos or streaming from.
Yeah.
Because it's just effectively a room that's set up as a set. Effectively,
yeah,
you know, it's a good kind of space in that sense. So you can get creative in that way,
yeah,
in terms of maybe taking photographs or making videos, as I said. But it's just, for me, it's the, you know, as you say, the aesthetics, just to kind of go, yeah, this is my, it's my space, it's my music space. I think that's, you know, for me at the moment, that's a little bit challenging, you know, like it's a little bit, as I said, my guitars are all packed away and it's kind of frustrating to have to kind of take them out. And then you've got a case.
Yeah.
And I did have a rack guitar stand, like a 5 guitar, but when I did the wall thing, I got rid of it, sold it. And I have been thinking about getting maybe like a triangle. You can get triangle ones where you can put 3 guitars on it.
Yeah.
And just having that so I can actually, and hopefully my next house is one that I own, so I won't necessarily get rid of it. I could just use it in a different spot, even if I create a guitar wall again.
Yeah.
But having my guitars out so I can grab them and just strum away. An idea comes, I can strum. And obviously the other aspect that we've been dealing with recently is with the fringe shows going on, I've had a lot of my gear kind of just, I haven't unpacked it too much in between the shows.
Yeah.
The guitar, yes, but not any of the other stuff. So that's not completely limited my creativity, but it's just the focus was on that and stuff was just in a pile near the front door pretty much.
Yeah.
Getting
ready to go.
Yeah, so, I didn't want to go to any of those gigs and have taken something out. Because I've done that before.
And then you forget to put it back in.
Yeah, yeah. I've gone to other gigs without my good microphone in my bag and I go, oh, I've got my crappy, you know, 58 in there.
You could have gone worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, it's like you're used to one piece of equipment and say a microphone, for instance, and, you know, you have quite a capable sort of backup just in case, but... You know, you don't want to use the backup. You want to make sure that you're
Yeah.
You know, the microphone that you normally use is there, and then all of a sudden you have to use the backup. And yeah, I mean, it creates that extra element of doubt or an extra element of distraction in the back of your mind when it should be focused on the task at hand, which is doing the gig. So, yeah, I understand
that. I mean, it's interesting, though. It is good to face that challenge kind of head on. In the sense that it's...
I think a podcast about essential things in your gig bag would be quite interesting.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
No, Write that down. Oh, this is recorded, so that's
remember
right.
that one.
We'll remember that one.
We're in the void and there's no pens and papers in the void.
Well, yeah, we're in the void, that's right.
But yeah,
I'm surprised there's no echo coming back from there.
There's nothing for it to echo off. It's just endless.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, no, definitely. I mean, definitely. So I think that's the other thing is that when I went to the live gig and I didn't have a microphone, it's just like, I'll get by. I'll be fine. You know, I've got my other mic. I'll work it out. You know. I'll power through, and you come away going, yeah, I can sing it right through any microphone. That's, you know, it's a good sign.
Yeah.
But I think like what you were saying about having a gig bag is, when you're, again, it's that same sort of thing when you're suddenly lacking something that you're used to having. It's just another little test of your, you know, your ability to adapt and overcome. That's a great quote. I love that one, adapt and overcome.
It's resilience, flexibility, malleability. I mean, it's they're all qualities that performers need to have in their arsenal to get through the gigs.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it applies to obviously the studio. You strip back. What are you?
Of course.
Yeah. If you don't have the stuff, all of a sudden, how do you kind of keep on, keeping on? And I think that, you know, we could get into it now, and we can get into another podcast. I mean, you know, there's the element of gear, but I mean, it's amazing how much. I think the environment plays a part, but it's more your comfort level in the environment, if that makes sense. If your apple cart feels upset, you know, like if you're not feeling, you know, if you feel comfortable, I don't think it matters what the environment is. You know, it can be like, you know, we've been playing the Fringe gigs where I speak about one of the songs, right in the end, where I'm just sitting in a hotel room, you know. Get a text message, boom, the idea is there.
Yeah.
And I'm in a safe space. I'm in my hotel room. You know, so I'm comfortable where I'm sitting. I'm fine. So I think it's more about the comfort. And I think the challenge for you and I recently, it's been that in our own environments, we've been uncomfortable. Because when you move, you always feel a bit weird in a new place.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is not my place, it's a rental, and I'm working towards, you know, buying, and therefore I feel like this is a halfway house. I don't want to necessarily feel comfortable here. I want to feel uncomfortable so it inspires me in some ways to, you know, move towards buying quicker.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And obviously for yourself, selling and moving, and then once you've moved, kind of finding your next place. And so we're both in that kind of, you know, uncertain stage. So I think it's more about comfort than anything else.
Yeah.
And you can be comfortable in living in a van, or a bus, like George does, for example, or you know, anywhere really, as long as you feel comfortable there. The space can be as basic in the sense that it could be your bedroom. It doesn't have to be if you're younger and you still live with your parents or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a studio.
Yeah, you don't need – well, the beauty about nowadays is that you don't need to spend a lot of money to have a good studio set up.
Yeah.
You just need a desk, good mic, as best as you can have, The best you can have in terms of microphone, audio interface, computer or laptop, and speakers. And if not speakers, then you've got headphones. That's it, really.
And I mean, the example of these microphones, one, USB microphones, Shure, who do the SM7B, which you've got and a lot of people have for podcasting.
USB equivalent of the SM7B
brother.
Is awesome.
Yeah. So it has
absolutely awesome.
It has a smaller brother, which now a lot of people are using for podcasts.
It's very comparable.
It removes the need for an interface.
And also with the SM7B, you've got to really have the gain up. You've got to run it really hot for it to work.
Cloud Lifter is what most people get to kind
exactly.
of get the gain up.
With the USB equivalent, you don't necessarily have that. So that's also a really cool feature of it as well.
But I mean, these microphones, example, I mean, we've got two microphones. They're plugged in with a USB-C microphone. They're plugged in with USB-C because that's what's on my laptop. But I mean, and you can mount these very simply on a stand if you wanted to.
Absolutely.
They don't have to be on a desk mount.
Yeah.
But you could have two of these microphones if you wanted to. The interesting thing is if you had two of these microphones the same, you could potentially record vocals through these. You could record guitar through them. They're a stereo. They're effectively.
Well,
You could set them up as a stereo pair of microphones, like on your guitar, just to be a bit creative. So you could have two, so you could record vocal and guitar at the same time if you wanted to, just as a creating a bit of separation and demoing. But they're not. I can't actually remember how much they were. A couple hundred bucks, maybe not even that. 160. They weren't that expensive, I didn't think.
About that price.
You're not having to spend an absolute fortune. And USB-C microphones, if you don't have an audio interface, I mean, that's the way to go. These days you can record, obviously not the entry-level iPad, which is just still a Lightning one, but like the iPad Air. Just come out with M1 processor, you could record into that and have your own little recording studio on a bloody iPad. The gear, I mean, you can record, I mean, I record into my phone all the time into voice memos.
Yes, me too.
Back them up though. them up so you don't lose them.
Yeah.
The gear doesn't have to define you in the same way that, there's people out there who love gear, who like to collect gear mm-hmm. and like to buy a lot of it. But I think in the live sense, you can have a very simple setup as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we've spoken about it before. Like, I've got a Helix. Part of the reason I did that is I just wanted to have ultimate control when, before the other pedal I've got is an acoustic Singer, which is one you can run your guitar and vocal through. So I can have an effect on my vocal, an effect on my guitar. It also allows you to add a bit of harmony, basic harmony in the choruses and songs and stuff like that. But then I got a Paul Reed Smith guitar, which is electric acoustic. And I thought, well, I want to be able to kind of play around with some electric sounds.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy a bunch of different pedals, and the Helix was the ideal solution to do that. And again, I can save songs. I can have a, a patch for each song and all that kind of stuff. But then on the flip side, I look at I posted a post today, young guy that hopefully we'll get him on the podcast at some point, Jack Botts. I have to slow down when I say his name because his name is exactly the same as mine, except an O instead of an E.
Okay. Yeah, that's right, Jack Botts. Yeah.
Weird. But I met him, I happened to go to his gig during the Fringe season. I posted a photograph that I took with him. And, he's a young guy, got a huge following on Spotify, 250,000 or something like that, a lot more than his social followings. But, obviously doing really well and literally paying all over Europe, UK and Europe, Ireland. And I wanted to see what setup he had because he had acoustic guitar. He had a second acoustic guitar, which had I think an open tuning.
Yeah.
And then he had a stomp box. So just, you know, just to create a thumping kind of, you know, kick beat basically through the chorus of his songs. And so his stage setup was literally that stomp box with what appeared to be just a piece of 2x4 before it, behind it. So I think he could sit his foot on that and it would be at the higher than the pedal.
Right.
Rather than him having his toe lifted up in the air, it flattened his foot out.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was, why he had it. And then I think he just had a tuner and one other pedal on the floor, which I have to kind of look up what the color coding of Boss pedals are or whatever brand it was. But he had a pretty simple setup.
Yeah.
And he's touring the other side of the world, selling out shows, and got a huge following. And he's got a very basic kind of setup. And you know, I've travelled and played with a more basic setup as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's playing in venues where he's going to have a mixing desk and sound checks and plenty of time to kind of get everything right and sure he's not going to run into any issues. But because I'm wanting to add a little bit more to what I'm doing, but I don't. It just goes to show that you can have a very basic, simple, clean setup.
Yeah,
and still create stuff. You don't, it's not saying one is bad and the other one is worse than the other. It's just that they, you know, you don't have to have all the gear necessarily.
That's right.
It depends on what you're trying to create, of course. Like, you might need to have a few more bits of gear. Like, he's obviously got a very slim setup, and if you're trying to do a little bit more stuff, you might need a little bit more gear. You know, we've spoken about the Helix, is the fact that you can run acoustic guitar through it, electric guitar through it, bass through it, vocals through it. You can run everything through it. So it becomes a very kind of all-in-one kind of solution for using different instruments. It's even got MIDI capabilities as well. So, but yeah, I mean, I think if you're young and listen to this and think, oh, I don't have all the gear, I can't do it, I think that that's an excuse kind of thing.
It is. I mean, you just need to have the attitude of just, you do the best you can with what you have. And also too, is like, I mean, you and I have amassed gear and we know people that have amassed more gear.
Yes.
And we all suffer from a bit of gas, you know, gear acquisition syndrome. Yeah. But bearing in mind, that's over years of playing and acquiring. You know, you can't, you know, decide to, yes, I want to be a musician, so therefore I need to go out and spend $30,000, $35,000 or whatever the amount, you know, insert ridiculous monetary figure here. Mm. You know, in terms of gear, it's, you start off with what you have. And again, the limitations that having what you have and trying to do the best you can with what you have allows you to think outside the square, allows you to get creative with your creativity.
Yes.
You know, so I find that if you give me too much choice, then I've become paralysed, you know, sort of an analysis paralysis.
Sorry, need and, the table there, but yeah.
So, you know, if you've got acoustic guitar, pen, paper, iPhone, voice memo, bang, you know, I'll be able to pop out ideas. And I feel quite comfortable doing that, knowing that, okay, I can take those recordings later on and work on them. There's a quote that I really, really love, and I might have said this before in a previous podcast episode, but done is better than perfect.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so having the thought pattern.
that's going to be the tagline for the podcast.
That's right. You know, having the thought pattern of, I'll be able to create better music if I get this. I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting the next gear, but don't use it as a means to not put out something now because you're waiting for tomorrow. You're waiting for the next gear to be the answer to how am I going to write a better song, or how am I going to create what it is that I want to create. It's, you've already got the tools. The tool is you.
Yeah.
Right. And I think some people view creativity as having all your ducks in a row and then I'll be creative after that. It's like, no, creativity is, irrespective of what discipline, creativity is the act of being creative with your creativity. So if you've got, well, think of creativity as MacGyver, you know, it's like MacGyver gets into a situation, he's got a paperclip, piece of chewing gum and a stick, and he'll be able to get out of any situation. You know what I mean? Because he's creative. It's a lot of bullshit. But anyway, he's creative with that. So you can do that with your own creativity. You can do that with your own impulse to produce something from nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I don't find it hard to, in terms of coming up with those initial ideas, like they just pop into your head and it's like, oh, voice memo this and like play something and get that down. I think that in those initial just tiny little, you know, I can't think of the right word, but you know, the tiny little ideas that just start to come, those kind of little seeds of, you know, something. They haven't turned into anything yet, but it's still seeds of idea. It's pretty simple. Just let them flow out. Chuck them down. Don't overcomplicate it. Just get it recorded.
Yeah. Done is better than perfect.
I basically play through things, and I normally then just play through the chords and just say, oh, capo, third fret, C, da, 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 whatever I'm doing. You know, just so when I come back to it, it's not like, oh, hang on, what did I play there? I can just literally like go, oh, okay, cool. Yep. No worries, done. But I think where I need it and some other people need it is that once you take it to the next step, it's probably about having processes down.
Yes.
Like steps that you take to kind of get from A to B to C to D.
Yeah.
How do you go about? And that's where you need to work out what a process that works for you. I mean, like, so there's obviously recording songs, and then I do you know, YouTube videos, for example. And it's like at the moment I've got a million ideas. It's just like I just got to, in this new space, because in my old space I'd kind of formulated a bit of an
idea. You had a bit of a workflow, didn't you?
Yeah. And the thing is, when you get put in a new space, it's just like, okay, I've got a new space which is different. It's not better or worse necessarily. It's just different. I need to work out how I want to kind of make this work as a workflow. And it's just coming up with, you know, just that step-by-step kind of process that you can move your ideas forward. And it might be that, you know, just as an example, I mean, a video is not a bad example because it has some clearly defined steps, which is like maybe writing a script, and then you know, might have, you know, B-roll stuff you want to shoot, like pictures of a product, and then you've got A-roll, which is you on screen kind of talking. And so we go, well, I could shoot a bunch of B-roll. I can work out all the B-roll shots I need for like three videos.
Yeah.
And like set them up and kind of maybe I can work through those. And then I've done all that. And then I can sit down in front of the camera and maybe I can record two videos at once effectively.
Yeah.
Because I've already shot the B-roll, so I already know what I'm going to cut away to. And you already know in your head what the clip looks like because you've already shot it. So it's kind of about kind of just refining those new creative processes of how best it works in this new environment that you're in. Yeah. And the same goes with, obviously, you know, maybe recording, taking a recording from just a demo to, you know, into, say, Logic or whatever you happen to be recording in. For a lot of people on Macs, it's going to be Logic. So, you know, how do you go about that? How do you go about fleshing that idea out? And to some degree, it's going to be different with every song.
Yeah.
But
there are fundamental similarities, though. You can create templates and to increase the productivity of your workflow and stuff. But But it's all about processes. And yes, processes are sometimes dependent on environment, dependent on gear, but it's also dependent on your willingness to want to, you know, take the idea to its conclusion as well.
Well, I was going to say it's kind of circling around nicely back to the beginning, which is that if you kind of work out those processes within your creative process, you know, of taking something to the next step, for example, a video, how are you going to produce a video, or with a recording, for example, how are you going to do that, or, you know, whatever the creative outlet you're doing, is that by creating that process, you create the comfort. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you just work through the steps of the process and you know those steps after a while, so it becomes comfortable, which is kind of back to the beginning, which is, you know, being comfortable within the environment but also the creative process. And comfort also comes with, you know, if you do have gear, it's knowing how to use that gear.
Yes.
The more you use it, the more you get comfortable with it. So fundamentally, comfort is such a big part of it in terms of just feeling at peace.
It allows the environment to become an extension of you. And if you have an environment that is an extension of you, well, then you're able to move within it in the most efficient way possible. Yeah. And therefore, the output from that creative environment will be to, you know, the standard that you want it to be.
Yeah, it's kind of like finding your happy place.
Well, yeah,
you know, it's like
if you
find that, and I mean, and I guess moving. You know, back to what we started with in terms of the fact that for you, for example, I mean, you're looking to kind of buy a house and then, you know, build out that, you know.
Re-establish a happy place.
Yeah, re-establish the happy place where it's just kind of like, you talk about Zen, but it's like you walk in there and it's just like, I'm at home here, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about it on the soul.
Well, if you're going to spend most of your time there,
yeah,
you might as well be comfortable.
Well, that's the thing. It's like that. I was just thinking about that other song. It's just like the song. We've got a song called "Back to You," and I describe it as an "All roads lead to home." The roads lead to where you're meant to be. But I mean, having a space that you can, that's the ultimate, I guess. And as I said, it doesn't have to be a studio. It can be your bedroom. It can be your lounge room. I mean, I imagine in your place, you'll actually look to set up, you know, lots of different spaces that you can feel creative in. So that there'll be the studio space, which is specific to the studio. But then, like you're saying, sitting around with just a microphone, laptop, or a phone and your guitar, and just throwing ideas around, it might be the fact that you create an outdoor, space, a nice lounge room space or something like that, where you can also, let those kind of creative outlets kind of flow.
Yeah.
And that's the other beauty of the fact that with technology these days is you can kind of be mobile with it, go anywhere, go and sit in a forest somewhere that makes you just feel, whatever it makes you feel. Any emotion can kind of come from it, which can then lead to any song in that case. As I said, I mean, for me at the moment, I'm trying to feel uncomfortable on purpose, which is, kind of not helping, although I'm feeling more comfortable, which is good. But, there's been an element of kind of like, I don't want to feel comfortable here. I want this to feel like a halfway house, because that's going to make...
Well, it's a transition between one place to another.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've been bouncing from, not bouncing too much. I mean, I've been in places for a few years each time, but... For me, it's kind of that excitement of kind of going, okay, cool, I can actually create a space which is mine. Yeah. And it's like, if I want to make a void bigger by knocking a wall down, I can. If I want to stick guitars on the wall, I don't have to worry about anybody complaining that I've drilled massive holes in the wall to stick massive Dyna bolts through the wall.
Exactly.
To hang things up.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I think that's probably, That's enough of us riffing on,
I think,
on finding a
yeah,
place.
Yeah, I think but, so. But one thing I wanted to one thing I wanted to sort of ask you before we finished this episode is by the time people are listening to this, it would have been a week since just over a week since our last Fringe show.
Oh yes.
So how do you think it went? I mean, this I don't want to segue into a complete debriefing or anything because we haven't really spoken to each other that much since that time because I basically needed a cup of tea and a lie down afterwards and got a bit crook and I'm feeling much better now. But yeah, how do you think it went?
Oh, I think for the most part, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those challenging things. I was talking about it, and this just, well, again, we'll keep this brief here, but we can, we might talk about it another time. It was good to have the four shows. Now, financially, it wasn't necessarily good to have the four shows because we had Omicron come through and that kind of, you know, affected audiences across the entire Fringe. And so if we compressed the audiences into two shows, it might have been better numbers-wise. However, it was great to have the hit out where we had a gig, then a week's gap gig, and then we had 9 days gap and 10 days. Not like we had the last two were back to back.
Yeah.
So it was, well, one day. So it was 7 days, 9 days, 1 day, and it was a an interesting kind of way to do it because, you know, and it was good to have the four gigs because it just gave us time to, I think, gel a bit more, or at least feel it out a little bit more.
Yeah. So ease into the concept.
Yeah, like if we'd just done the two gigs, it would have been like opening night, closing night, bum, done.
Yeah.
Whereas we had opening night, a week off, another one, 9 days off, another one, and then closing night. So we kind of had more room for it to move, if that makes sense. And I think that was very beneficial. And, yeah, I mean, all in all, it went good. I mean, the people who came along loved it. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's no kind of, yeah, in that case, it's like that ticks all the boxes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah. I think the next live stream that we do is going to be pretty special because we've done those four shows under our belt.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah. No, I certainly think
I think we'll be able to, whatever we experience, we'll be able to carry into those live streamings. And yes, you know, it'd be good to start sort of live streaming ASAP and make it consistent and regular. I don't know if it's going to be this weekend because
you're moving.
I would have established myself sort of temporarily, temporarily at a location and set everything up so then I can, you know, look for a place. So that's going to be prohibitive, I think, but maybe the week after that.
Yeah, certainly
but,
I want
to. But watch this space. Watch this space. It's going to be good. Looking forward to it.
I mean, basically, I think the plan is that we'll probably start doing it maybe once a month or something like that.
Yeah.
In the short term. Yeah. And we'll be doing some other, obviously, for people who don't know, we'll basically, we will be getting back into studio recordings and working on that stuff. But then we'll also be chucking some videos up on YouTube pretty regularly during that recording process. Just, you know, some of the songs we're playing in our live streams. We've already uploaded a few and we'll upload a few more.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll, you know, put some other videos up of other stuff we're going to be working on as well.
So if you have any ideas, dear listeners, if you have any ideas as to what you would like us to be doing, let us know because, you know, we're trying to build a tribe, we're trying to build a community and, you know, it's all about you guys, the listeners, just as much as it's about the guests and us and everything. Let us know.
And be like Julie. Go and buy a T-shirt.
Oh, Julie.
We've sold a few T-shirts at the gig, yeah, which is great. Cool. It's always nice to have people wearing a Soul Trader T-shirt, but you can buy them online via the website. So, yes, be like Julie, go and buy a T-shirt.
Hi, Julie.
I don't know how many she's bought now, but a few. So
wow. Does she come from a big family? Do they all need to be clothed?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Indeed.
Good on her.
But yeah, look, thanks for listening to the podcast. And we'll speak to you again next week, and we'll hope you get to hear about how Corey's final move and key hand ever went. And,
oh, yeah. If Simon's by himself, you know what's happened. Doing the podcast now, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.
Ciao for now.
See ya.
You have been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and CoreyStewartOnline.com. See you next week.